This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Government people are going to prison. We have changes happening in the military. Wisconsin's governor throws like a girl. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. How many times have you heard me say communists only understand fear and pain? We've talked about this over and over and over and over again. We're about to talk about it again. We're about to talk about the why, because there is something wonderful happening and we need to give credit where credit is due. Let me first get this out of the way, in case you happen to be a new viewer of us here on I'm Right. I don't wave pom-poms for people. I don't, nobody. No politician, no nothing. They're all just rental cars to me. Use them to get where you're going and then dump them just because that's exactly what they'll do to you. And so even when we have the administration we want, when we don't see the results we want, we yell. But we also need to give out credit where credit is due. We've been yelling about the necessity for government people to be arrested. Not the latest gangbanger or this, that stuff is fine. People in government, communists, using the system for their own nefarious goals, must be arrested. Let me go ahead and get this out of the way again. If Trump's 4 years ends without government people in prison, no matter what else happens, trade, border, what else, his 4 years will have been a failure. And I say that not to be harsh. I say that because rooting out the communist cancer inside the government is the most important goal by a mile. The border can just be unsecured again by these people if you leave them where they are. Trade can be destroyed again by these people if you leave them where they are. Inflation, go down the list. All these problems we're fixing all come right back without government people going to prison. So let's discuss what we're seeing here. We have two judges arrested last week, two of them. One of these ladies, this Dugan out of Milwaukee, listen to what she did.
The judge learns that ICE was outside to get the guy because he had been deported in 2013, came back in our country, commits these crimes, charged with committing these crimes, victims in court. Judge finds out, she goes out in the hallway, screams at the immigration officers. She's furious, visibly shaken, upset, sends them off to talk to the chief judge. She comes back in the courtroom, you're not going to believe this, takes the defendant and the defense attorney back in her chambers, takes them out of private exit and tells them to leave. While a state prosecutor and victims of domestic violence are sitting in the courtroom.
Why would she do that? This is going to be the fear and pain portion. A judge? A judge just aided a felon escaping law enforcement. Why would she do that? Well, this is important. This is important for understanding why we have to arrest communists, why they only understand fear and pain. So let me again explain it this way. Politics is probably what you do, not who you are. Let me explain. That's a good thing. And I'm not doubting your beliefs on what you want out of government or don't want out of government. I know you probably believe it all the way. But it's not your entire life, is it? I'm glad you join us every single night here watching I'm Right. I appreciate that very much. But you have other things in your life, family, work, church. You have a life outside of it. It's not your religion. You don't look to it every minute of every day, do you? Of course you don't. I hope you don't. But see, this is the separation between us and the communists. The communist does. He does. It is everything to him. He will show up in every election. He will peruse the news. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but that sounded good. And he will sit there and just get angrier and angrier and angrier all day long. I gotta do something. Ah! He is a religious zealot in every sense of the word. If you want to understand how these people think, you should actually look to radical Islam. It's the closest I've ever seen. These jihadis who walk into a theater with a nail bomb and blow themselves up, the American Democrat more closely resembles that person than anyone else in your life. Certainly closer to him than he ever could be to you. Politics, power, destruction is everything to the communist. And so the communist, he doesn't set aside his communism when he gets really important jobs, important roles. This is how we get confused. This is why we get confused. Maybe you woke up and you saw a headline of a judge whisking away an illegal to escape custody, and you thought to yourself, what? That's unbelievable. Did you say anything like that? Unbelievable. Well, it's very, very believable. Did you think Dugin sees herself as a judge just because she went through law school and jumped through all the hoops and had this long legal career, and now she wears these judge's robes and has a really important job? Do you think she sees herself as a judge first? She doesn't see herself as a judge first. She's a communist first. It's her religion. Everything else is secondary. It doesn't matter whether she puts on a judge's robes, a general's uniform. Doesn't matter whether she puts on the uniform of a Cub Scout leader, a newsman, a politician, an FBI agent. Communism always comes first. Everything else is a side issue. Everything else is ancillary. In fact, the communist is usually pretty honest, as Dugin once was. They really only got that role. They only sought out that role to push more communism.
The law is a real challenge in making sure that justice happens for people. It's transformative in people's lives. But it also, especially in the United States, it's considered a stabilizing force. It's something that keeps us on a constant path. The rule of law is how we address our social issues, how we address our disputes, but also how we grow as people. I, as a person who for a couple decades almost represented low-income people, it is due process that really equalizes those differences between people, then we're able to achieve that equal justice that we are promised and hope to have continue despite our differences, despite our class differences, despite our racial and religious differences.
Does she sound like a woman who sits down there on the bench just trying to do a judge's job way a judge is supposed to do it? Or does that sound like a 100% committed communist who sought out the role of judge in order to push communism every single place she went? It doesn't matter what uniform, what skin suit the communist puts on, he's always a communist first. That's why you walk in Aiden, Jaden, and Braden's second grade classroom and you see the teacher there with pink hair, a bunch of rings in her face, a Black Lives Matter poster trying to teach your sons how to be gay. They didn't seek out the role as teacher so they could teach. They sought it out so they could push communism. If they have to do some teaching along the way, that's fine. But that brings me back to the point of why this is so important and why we should applaud it. And I know what you're saying. It's just the start. It's just the very beginning. I know. This is just the tip. This is just the beginning. There are so many more arrests needed. But you see, because he's a religious zealot who never can set his communism aside, the only chance you have at stopping him in his revolutionary efforts is fear and pain. It's all he will ever understand. Solzhenitsyn talked about it, having been a victim of communism, a member of the gulags. He called communists the enemies of the human race. And he said, all they understand is the big fist. And the harder you hit them, the safer they will be. Now, we don't like thinking like that or talking like that on the right. It makes us uncomfortable. But these people, unless they have to wake up on Monday morning and open up social media and look at videos of other communists being arrested for their crimes, will never, ever, ever stop. They can't. They have to know something will hurt them. My dog, just like your dog. Table scraps, food that gets dropped on the floor. He's gonna get it. He can't help it. It's in his instincts. It's in his nose. When he smells it, he can't help it. Now, what's the only way, I will get my dog to stop running for a fry when my sons purposely drop it on the ground? I have to discipline him in some way. I don't know, whip him with the newspaper, something, yell at him, something, unless I find a way to give him pain, fear, he will never stop. The American communist is just like the Soviet communist, the Chinese communist, the Cambodian communist, the Canadian communist. They're all the same. They will never, ever, ever, ever stop because they are religious zealots and they are communists first. It's why these press conferences like the one Tom Holman gave are actually very, very valuable.
Any public official, whether you're mayor, city councilman, or governor, their number one responsibility is protection of the communities. And ISIS has been clear, we're targeting public safety threats and national security threats. I can't believe there's any elected official, and especially a judge, that doesn't believe we should be doing that, and they should be helping us. What ISIS have from day one, you can sit aside and watch, you can argue against us all you want, and protest all you want, but when you cross that line, I've said this 1,000 times, when you cross that line to impediment, or knowingly harboring, concealing an illegal alien from ICE, you will be prosecuted, judge or not.
Which brings me to something else I want us to understand as we wrap this thing up, because Governor J.B. Pritzker said something that was pretty revealing of how these people think. Before I show it to you, I'm gonna say this. Remember, the reason they're like this, part of the reason they're like this is communism is now and always will be a revolutionary ideology, religion, however you want to put it, I'll call it a religion. It's revolutionary. It first got going in the Soviet Union, in Russia, as a revolutionary movement, revolting against the czars, revolting against this. It's always billed as revolutionary. When Mao did it, they were revolting against the system they had in China at the time. Pol Pot, same thing here. America's Democrats, exact same thing here. Revolutionary. And because it's revolutionary, the idea is tear down the existing power structures, tear down everything. What exists, everything in power that exists, is bad, and our revolution has to tear it down. That's how these people think. And so even when they're in critical positions of power, like judge, even president, senator, or governor of Illinois, they speak as revolutionaries.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box.
They can't help it. It's in their bones. Revolutionary, religious zealots. Arrest them everywhere you find them committing crimes. They will always commit crimes because, again, the idea is to break the system they're in. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. David Nino Rodriguez joins me next to discuss this further. Before we get to David, let me get to sleeping. Maybe my favorite thing in the world, especially because I'm old now. I had a dinner reservation on Saturday night, took the wife out. You know what time I made that reservation for? 5 o'clock, because I wanted to be in bed by 9. I have an addiction to dream powder from Beam at this point in time. You see, I love hot chocolate and I love sleeping well, and Beam combines those two things. Dream powder is all natural things in it, melatonin and reishi and all kinds of natural things in it. You sip it about a half hour before bed, that's what I do. And then you drift off to sleep. But when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like you took anything. Like you normally do, feeling all groggy. You just feel rested because it was natural. You want to experience it? Buy one bag, you'll always have it. Shopbeam.com/JesseKelly gets you a big fat discount. We'll be back.
Hey.
We are going to prosecute you, and we are prosecuting you. I found out about this the day it happened. We could not believe, actually, that a judge really did that. We looked into the facts in great depth. That's her picture up on the screen, Hannah Dugan, who is now in custody. You cannot obstruct a criminal case, and really, shame on her. It was a domestic violence case of all cases, and she's protecting a criminal defendant over victims of crime.
Good. It's a good start. Couple judges getting arrested. I'd say a good start. I'll put it that way. Joining me now, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Gosh, that's so freaking cool to have that on your resume the rest of your life. David Nino Rodriguez, host of Nino's Corner. Nino, I am a happy man. And look, I know it's just a start, but at least we have some of these scumbags going to jail.
Absolutely. You know, I'm excited about that. These are just the what I call the preliminary arrests. Like, you have preliminary fights to the main event. These are the preliminary arrests. Mark my words, these are going to get better. They're going to go up in scale. I think probably once the Russiagate blows open and 2020, those are all coming, I predict, this year by August. And I think we're going to see some bigger type arrests. I think more prominent arrests. And, you know, any judge that's obstructing justice or slowing down the process is just shining a light on themselves. And I believe, you know, I call it the Trump operation, not the Trump administration, that they will be arrested and be held accountable for harboring and aiding and abetting terrorism.
Nino, a lot of people found this story to be just simply unbelievable. I don't even know which one is more shocking. The judge in New Mexico that had a prison gang member living with him and his wife, or the judge who helped somebody escape out her private quarters. It's so brazen. These people just, what, operate and think they'll never be charged?
They think they're above the law. You know, and I know El Paso is probably the most, probably one of the deepest parts of the swamp, if you want to know the truth. You know, you got to remember, the cartels control a lot of Texas, a lot of New Mexico, a lot of Arizona, well, a lot of all 50 states, if you want to know the truth. But I think that we will see, as this progresses, more and more judges go down, lawyers, immigration lawyers. The whole swamp is going to get drained, and I think we're just seeing the very beginning of it right now. You got to remember, who's controlling both sides of the border? It's the cartels. Yeah, they have these politicians in their back pocket, is what I'm saying.
No, I think we should expand on that a little bit more, because people who know will point out how many banks there are in these tiny towns along the southern border. People who know will talk about the public corruption. We like to think that we're above that, and that's, you know, that's a Mexico problem. That happens in Colombia, but how many cops, how many judges, how many mayors are on cartel payrolls in this country? The answer is way more than we think about.
Oh, you're not, and let's not forget churches. Wait till that cracks open.
Yeah.
We're talking about all of it, every institution, every organization, not just the politics here, not just politicians. When this cracks open and people understand just how corrupt all systems are, all organizations, and who's controlling it all, these 501c3s, I think it's going to be a big awakening, even a greater awakening that's already happening. This exposing is about to hit a point of no return. Seriously. When you find out, like, how much the cartels really control through China, by the way. China also runs side by side with the cartels. This is going to pop open, and people are going to see just how corrupt our system really is.
Nino, Pam Bondi, well, here she was talking about that raid in Colorado.
During the Biden administration, they received 170 911 calls to that club alone. That club we were just watching, 170 calls. Wouldn't you think that would have been a red flag?
Wouldn't.
Nothing happened. Guns, shootings, ag batteries, nothing happened. So under Donald Trump, DEA, FBI, U.S. Marshals, ATF, ICE, everyone went in together. DEA led this investigation, went in, got 115 illegal immigrants,
right,
aliens in our country, arrested them, two with warrants, 12 guns seized. So what would happen in this club is you would go in, security would give you a menu of drugs, cocaine, there's something new called pink cocaine, meth, you could go in a bathroom stall, get that, there was prostitution, all these things going on, and we just now identified a member of Sinaloa cartel was also in there.
Good God. Pink cocaine just makes me feel old. I don't even know what drugs are anymore. But the Biden administration clearly just allowed these things to operate. They wanted these things to operate. How am I supposed to take that any other way, Nino?
Well, that was a shot across the bow. Look, I'll tell you what's happening here in El Paso, okay? They've closed down a lot of the tunneling systems here, okay? And then this started happening even before Trump got in. So it makes me wonder how long has this been really happening? Because one of the main tunnels that they closed down, a main artery, was shut down before even Trump got in office. So I think this operation has been afoot for a while now. But regarding what I just saw right there, the immigrants being rounded up in a club raid, they've raided apartment complexes here. I've seen soldiers, army soldiers, with the police, which I've never seen before. I didn't get much details on that. But there was an apartment complex right next to my house that got raided, and it looked like they were taking in a bunch of immigrants with army personnel and the police side by side. So I'm not sure how that was being played out. It was very, to me, I was like, huh, I have never seen that before in my life. But, you know, I have friends here in El Paso that have clubs, have, you know, topless bars, things like that, and nobody's showing up for work. People are scared. Like, all their employees are just not coming to work. So their businesses are suffering. I just said this on another program earlier. When I was traveling from El Paso to San Antonio, San Antonio back, usually that flight is packed to the gills no matter what time you go. This time I went, 70 to 100 open seats. So they're not even traveling. They're not going to work. 30 million plus immigrants are just in a frozen state right now, not knowing what to do. So the Trump effect is real, and it's happening.
I love it. And, you know, let's shift gears and cross the pond over towards Russia, Ukraine. I keep telling people the peace process is going to take a long time. Everyone thinks it's going to be a day. Donald Trump gets in there and negotiates this and that. It's a lot harder to stop a war than it is to start one, but it looks like we're making some kind of progress.
You know, I think Zelensky, obviously, I'm not the only one that thinks this. He's controlled by the globalists. They use the countries as proxies. Ukraine has been, you know, been shown to have bio labs. It's a money laundering. It's the head of the snake for the money laundering of the Biden regime, of any other dirty, filthy politicians and presidents. So, yeah, they're going to drag their feet, you know. I don't see a peace deal coming that easily. I think there's a lot of evidence they got to get rid of. I think, like I said, Zelensky wants this war. The globalists want this war. And Putin, I believe, is just doing what he needs to do in his interest. It's going to be very hard.
Appreciate you very much.
It's going to be very, very hard.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. All right. We will be back in a minute to talk about things at the Pentagon. Before we do that, let's talk about you, your energy, how you feel. Listen, when I tell you about natural herbal supplements from Jock, I want you to know they'll make your whole life better. Well, you know what? They've made my whole life better. I have so much more energy now. My brain, I didn't really know I was getting foggy, but once it's lifted, you think to yourself, gosh, how did I even function? That's what happens when you start a male vitality stack from Chalk or a female vitality stack from Chalk. You just feel good. Your mood is so much better all the time. I am addicted. Natural herbal supplements from the hardcore anti-communists at Chalk who share our values. Do you want a big fat discount? A 17.76% discount? Yes, 1776. Chalk.com/JesseTV. Go get a subscription. Take it for 90 days. Tell me how you feel. We'll be back. Maybe I'm just in a good mood, but I'm handing out all sorts of carrots tonight. Let's talk about Pete Hegseth, the Pentagon, the military, because this is something that we've discussed for a very long time. You know, this is something I'm odd about. The destruction of our military. And just to recap things that I've said under Joe Biden and Obama and things like that, when the military is rotting, You can't see it unless you're in it. And oftentimes you can't even see it while you're in it, but unless you're in it, you can't see it. And you can't understand completely why it matters to you. It's not that you can't understand. It's hard to make that connection, right? When I come on here and I talk about standards dropping in the military, the military getting full of a bunch of fat communists who are destroying our fighting readiness. You care. I care, but what's the matter to us? You know, went to work and school and you have a life and things like that. Okay, it's not ideal. It's not what you want, but what does it matter? Here's why it matters so much and why I talk about it so much. I love history. Battles and war and all kinds of things like every other dude. I love that stuff. But when I read the stories of crumbling empires whose indestructible armies were defeated and what happens to the people after those armies are defeated, it wakes me up. It shakes me awake. We've talked before about the fall of Carthage in the Third Punic War. The general, as Carthage was burning, Carthage was this juggernaut empire, but Rome completely wipes them out, and as Carthage is burning, he begins to weep. Why was he weeping? Was he sad for all those Carthaginians? No. He wrote it down. He was weeping because he knew that would be Rome one day. That's what happens to empires. That's what I don't want. And that's what will happen to us one day if the military slowly but surely continues to rot out from under us. We don't think it will. We look at all the planes and the bombs and the bullets, and we're America. Can't happen to us. Oh, yes, it can. Every single empire who's ever said that, it's happened to them eventually. So I want to give credit where it's due. Pete Hegseth's done a really excellent job. He's done an excellent job, but he has a mountain to climb. And look, they tried to take him out with all these ridiculous hits on him and things like that. He didn't do this, a signal chat and whatnot. He talked about it.
I know exactly why I'm here, to bring warfighting and the warfighting ethos back to the Pentagon, to rip out the insidious ideologies and not compromise and not back down. To bring in new press voices into the Pentagon, which we've done, to reestablish standards and accountability, to not tolerate leakers, to 100% operational control of our border, to get rid of trans lunacy in the military. We haven't backed down. So here's the thing. A lot of people come to Washington and they just play the game. And it's, you punch their ticket and get along to go along. And, you know, start doing meet the press and going to the Council on Foreign Relations and spending time with all the new cocktail sipping crowd. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because President Trump asked me to bring warfighting back to the Pentagon every single day. Right. That is our focus. And if people don't like it, they can come after me. No worries. I'm standing right here. The warfighters are behind us. Our enemies know they're on notice. Our allies know we're behind them. And that, in this dangerous world, for the American people, is what it's all about.
He's done well so far. He's slowly cleaning out the gunk. Now, there's a ton of gunk to clean out, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if he can do it in 4 years. I don't know if it's possible for anyone to do it in 4 years. That's not on Pete. But he started, and he's doing all right. He is. He got Susan Rice out of the daggone board, which it's amazing she was ever on there to begin with. She's one of the most evil communists in this country. Here she was whining about it.
Well, if you're a white male Christian cisgender macho MAGA man, you can be as dumb as a rock and be deemed qualified to serve as Secretary of Defense. That's apparently what we've learned from this episode. But let's also be clear. There's a serious point here. DEI has been used as a slur. Anybody who, fits the mold of somebody who is not a white Christian cisgender male is by definition in this administration deemed inferior.
Why has the military rot been so bad? Because people like that demon have been running things for a long time. Think about that. That wasn't some sociology professor at Cal Berkeley. She's been in critical positions of power, national security positions of power, for a long time, imposing her communism on everything she touches. So back to Pete Hegseth. For those who think there's more to do, and there is a lot more to do, you're right about that. But there is a lot of mess to clean up. And from what I see so far, Not too bad, Pete. Not too bad. All right? Maybe I'm just in a good mood today. Talk to Jason Nelson about the military rot on the inside in a moment. Before we talk to him, let me talk to you about getting yourself a free phone. I want you to look at your phone right now. I see those cracks in your screen. Phone's slowing down too, isn't it? All the apps, all the updates, the phone's slowing down. Why don't you switch to PureTalk when you get a free phone? You switch to PureTalk right now, not only will your bill go down, not only will you be supporting the patriotic cell phone company, you get a free Samsung Galaxy. When you go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and make the switch, free, brand new smartphone with a qualifying plan. Sound good? Put your money where your morals are. Switch to PureTalk. We'll be back. All right, let's talk about something terrible. You remember that terrible crash in D.C. Helicopter, Army helicopter, commercial airliner, had a, I believe it was a ballet team, a youth ballet team on it. Awful story from just a short while ago. And you remember how we handled it on the show, like we always do, not chasing stupid headlines and things like that. We prayed for the families, said the facts would come out, kind of left the whole thing at that. Well, we have some facts out. They aren't good, but I don't want to interpret them. I'm going to ask Jason to do that. Joining me now, Jason Nelson, retired Marine, United States Army Special Operations Command. You can follow him online at Real Jason Nelson. All right, Jason, I wasn't a pilot. They would never let me do something that involves that much intelligence. Tell me what happened here.
Well, first of all, we're both too tall to have ever been pilots, so I don't think that's going to happen. But that said, what's interesting that came out about this, Jesse, is that, and like you said, the key here is that obviously you don't want to jump to conclusions. You want to sit here. The most important thing is that there is a massive tragedy, 67 lives lost. That's the focus here. But at the same time, we need to learn from these mistakes. And as you've seen the data that's come out, there's been hundreds of near misses at that same airport. This is a constant problem. I don't know why they're using this. They've tried to shut down this airport numerous times. It's apparently Congress. It's just too convenient for them. But that said, you could see on approach when that helicopter was moving into the line to where the plane was approaching, they were warned off by the tower multiple times. She was above where she was supposed to be at altitude. She was traversing in an area she was not supposed to be traversing. But most importantly, I think, are those last 15 seconds where her right seat instructor told her to make a turn, told her, instructed her, said, hey, look, we're being told by the tower that we do not, we can't accept this visual confirmation. We need to track left. And they did not do so. You can see that she did not acknowledge it for 15 seconds, continued on her heading and course. And that's when the intercept happened and when the tragedy occurred. And there's a lot of questions that come from that, including how somebody can be in a situation where they don't have an immediate response. I don't know about you, Jesse, but I don't, an immediate response to orders is what discipline is. And the inability to respond in that situation directly led to the loss of 67 lives.
Okay. Jason, this is prompting a lot of conversation, and a conversation I'm glad we're having, about the current culture inside of the military. And there's a lot that goes into this, but the truth is, there are a lot of preferred people inside of our military now through years of cultural rot. And yes, I'm talking about women, attractive women. I'm talking about whatever the latest minority of the day is that's attractive to the Democrat Party. They install officers that incentivize these things. And there is a culture where you're afraid you can't criticize people who deserve criticism. There's a lot of that, and it's a big problem.
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the things that I remember very distinctly being at Parris Island, and I remember being with my platoon, 1053, shout out to Alpha Company, but I remember being with my platoon, and we're about to go through the obstacle course, and I remember the confidence course, and if you remember those, you look over to the right, and there was a shorter course, an obstacle course that had, a confidence course that had obstacles that were closer together. I didn't have to jump as far, and I remember asking, why? Why is it? What's that one for? It's for the women. Here's my question. Are we setting standards for our military members that are just standards across the board? Or are we setting standards that are people just, hey, you meet the minimum of what a person of your aptitude, a person of your height is expected to do? What matters is here is that when it comes to mission accomplishment, nobody cares. Nobody's going to lower the walls. No one's going to remove landmines. No one's going to turn around and change how they function in wartime. So when we sit here and lower standards, and you can see that Pete Hegseth has just put out, the Secretary of Defense just put out, that they're going to revamp the standards for medical waivers. And I know you're familiar with those as well, where you have people who are incapable of being deployed, incapable of doing their job, who are hanging on, you know, for military, for whatever reason, to gain a retirement. I'm not really sure if they're recruitment issues. But in the end, you need to have the best warfighters downrange that you could possibly have. We know that Pete's bringing that attitude to the Department of Defense, and then we know we're going to see those standards start to get applied. However, you can see the results, in my opinion, and a lot of the accidents that happen in commands. You know, you just saw that command where they would refuse to be backtracking on what the Secretary of Defense has to say as soon as they leave, sitting here saying Greenland, and, you know, I'm embarrassed. It's an embarrassment that this is the culture that we've gone to in our military. And, you know, people have asked how we can change that. I've proffered it. I was just asked by Adam Gray, congressman out in California, asked, what can we do? I said, well, let's start sending reserve troops and stop sending them in hotels every single time they go to drill for a weekend. Make them go back to drill centers and put up tents and bivouac and sit with their troops and put away their phones and stop acting like it's just a vacation and that, we, you know, everything is just to support some sort of special operator who's down in a cave somewhere, when in reality, everyone in the military should be ready and able to fight. And unfortunately, that isn't the standard anymore.
Can we fire our way out of this problem? And I say this because this is something I'm passionate about. You and I have had this talk many times before. I want this cleaned up. I want it fixed. But it seems like the depth of the problem is unbelievable. You could start with the academies, and I want to start with the academies, but it's so far beyond that. It's down to the lieutenant ranks. It's in the NCO ranks. It's a very, very deep-rooted problem at this point in time. Can we fire our way out of it?
And my wife pointed something out to me the other day. She said, you always expect everybody to be perfect. And I said, that's absolutely not true. However, it was instilled in me from day one at Paris Island that you should strive for perfection at all times. That if you fail to reach perfection, you can continue to improve. But in the end, you will do pretty great. You'll never be perfect. It's impossible to be perfect, but it's something you should strive for. That's an attitude that people should have. We need a warrior culture. Can you fire your way out of this? I think you could try. I think you could turn around and set standards and immediately start holding people accountable. I'd love to go in and take a look at the books. Let's look at how many commanders are fudging the numbers. Let's take a look at PT standards across the board. I'd say outside of the Marine Corps, you're probably going to see there's a lot of fudging. There's a lot of commanders who are able to move metrics around in order to be green as a unit, but they're putting aside the actual readiness of their troops. But I think what you need is a cultural change, and it isn't just about getting someone in the top. It's across the board, and we have to get back to our core mission. There's been a lot of mission creep over the last 25 years. You and I are both aware of this. As we move to nation building, as we move to humanitarian sector, the military is being used not for its primary purpose. The primary purpose of our military is to destroy and break things. It's to kill people. It's to kill people so that American citizens who are not in the military do not die. That is the only intent of the military. It's to kill people efficiently and as many people as possible as you intend to kill, with as little collateral damage if you can. That's the intent. If that's the mission, then you have to ask yourself, whatever we're doing, is it making us a more lethal force? Or is it just checking a box or filling a DI, whatever? It doesn't really matter. In the end, are we changing standards just to try and broaden our force and make everybody have a kumbaya moment? Or are we trying to sit here and destroy our enemies? Because it's a very clear distinction between those two things.
Speaking of the military being used for every different role, they're down on the border now as well. Pete Hegseth was talking about the zone and the border. Here he was.
This is Department of Defense property. The National Defense Area, formerly known as the Fort Huachuca Annex Zone, is federal property. Any illegal attempting to enter that zone is entering a military base, a federal protected area. You can be detained, you will be detained. You will be interdicted by U.S. troops and Border Patrol working together. If you are an illegal crossing, you will be monitored, you will be detained by U.S. troops. You will be detained temporarily and handed over to Customs and Border Patrol. if you have cut through a fence or jumped over a fence, that's destruction of government property. If you have attempted to evade, that's evading law enforcement, just like you would any other military base. You add up the charges of what you can be charged with, misdemeanors and felonies, you could be looking up to 10 years in prison when prosecuted.
Jason, I don't have any problem with anything he just said. I don't have any problem with anything Hegseth is doing at this point in time. I'm not in love with the military at the border, though. You can argue that's, you know, maybe its most justified function it's done in the last 20 years, but that's what we have Border Patrol for. And to be honest, I have a little bit of nerves about a bunch of young infantry Marines down on the border. Someone's going to die at some point in time.
Yeah, so what you're talking about right there is rules of engagement, ROE, right? So obviously the military operates on a very different rules of engagement. Again, maximum force. I have no problem with, as you say, the United States Army Corps of Engineers going down and doing building on the border in conjunction with CBD. As a matter of fact, that's what they do in the Southwest region and in the Pacific region. They work hand in hand. And I understand why certain roles, it makes sense from a budgetary standpoint, it makes sense from a training standpoint to use those elements. But I agree with you. I understand why they're doing this. They're plugging holes. They're trying to show that they're willing to use maximum force to protect our border. They're doing it because this is a response to judicial just idiocy right now, where everyone is striking down and fighting within what's the basic job of the president, and they're stopping him from doing that. So what they're now doing is, like we did the first term, where they turned around and used USAID's border military funds to put forth the border because everything else was held up in court when it comes to discretionary funding. In this instance, I think it's very similar. You're being held up by bureaucrats, probably within CPB. You're probably being held up by funding purse strings by Congress. So this allows them to do that, to go out there and put that force and that element on the border. That said, I agree with you. I think understanding rules of engagement, understanding how escalation of force works, you're asking a lot of an 18 and a half year old who's had 6 months of training to go down there and interdict on behalf of people who have had instead, you know, years of training when you're talking about Customs and Border Patrol. And I would rather see that mission stay within that. I don't mind the support element aspect of it. I understand why they're going to do it. But if you're going to do it in this, you have to also say, look, this is likely going to end in an escalation of force that has a lethal outcome. There is no other way, as you just pointed out, that it's not going to end in that.
Jason, I appreciate you, brother. Come back soon. All right. We're going to talk about throwing like a girl. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. Now, we need to have a talk. And this talk may hurt you. It may be offensive. But if it hurts you and it's offensive in some way, I want you to know I'm saying what I'm about to say out of love, okay? I'm saying it out of love, and I've had to have this talk with my own sons in life and things like that. So let's have a chat, shall we? Sports. Now, I grew up and all my friends played sports. I played sports. And I need to make sure I clarify something. I was and I remain a terrible athlete, absolutely terrible, uncoordinated, slow. I was about that big around. So I'm not telling you that I was in any way good at sports. I was terrible. I was always in right field in baseball. I was okay at basketball, but I sucked. Okay, I was a terrible athlete. But years and years and years and years and years, I played sports. And I'm not telling you have to play sports for years and years and years and years and years. But as a boy, and as a girl, because there's all kind of women's sports out there now, sadly. But as a boy and a girl, I think it's important that you play. Not for years, maybe a season or two. But if for no other reason, you don't want to look like the governor of Wisconsin who put this video out himself, throwing a ball.
Go on, Tony.
You can't throw like that. And if you do throw like that, don't throw. That's the bottom line. You can't throw. If someone hands you a football, I don't know, do something cocky with it, call a handoff, something like that. You can't do that. Either throw the ball like a man or don't throw the ball. Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. You need to learn how to throw and catch. These are critically important skills. All right? I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.